Ladies and gentlemen, let's go. Level up. Lifestyle. Wellness. Damn good time. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Ladies and gentlemen. To the Holistic Life Podcast, presented by Save What Radio.
Welcome to another episode of the Holistic Life Podcast. This is Jenny, and I just wanted to let you know that this episode you're about to listen to is power-packed and full of information that is going to help you in your wellness journey. But I wanted to also let you know that we recorded this in Clubhouse. And so if it sounds a little bit different than what you're used to hearing from Jay and I, that's why. And the last episode we did that came out last week is 5 Myths About Fitness, another room that was recorded in Clubhouse. So you can always go back and listen to that one as well if you want to hear the different perspectives about each aspect of wellness. We absolutely loved having these conversations. We've already been getting some excellent feedback from you as a listener that this has been a really cool way and a different dynamic approach. So without further ado, enjoy the episode. Hello. Oh my gosh, we are so fired. Well, I'm fired up. I can't speak for Jay, but I am fired up and ready for this room. I'm like super, I'm on like 12 right now. Hey, Jay.
What up?
What up? Hey guys, welcome to the room.
Good afternoon, good evening where you are. Welcome to the Weddings Pro Club. We are Jenny and Jay from 2J Holla, where we help entrepreneurs create an unfuckwithable mindset so they can have the life and business they deserve without the overwhelming burnout. And we're continuing from our room of last week, 5 Myths About Wellness We Wish People Would Stop Believing. And this week's edition is the Nutrition Food Edition. All right. It's going to be an interesting topic.
Yes. So let's just jump right into it because we have so much to share with you in this hour. And towards the end, we will give the opportunity for you guys to come up and ask any questions or even share like your ahas or things maybe you did know or didn't know, or if you have anything specific that you want to know about your own situation. So let's start off. The first myth is that blank diet, so keto, paleo, Whole30, Mediterranean, whatever it is the way to success. And the thing with this myth is that what I feel like gets people a lot, especially, you know, the clients that we've worked really closely with, is that they've usually heard that their friend or their family member has lost a lot of weight. Oh, but so-and-so has lost weight doing keto, or so-and-so has lost a lot of weight doing whatever. And so a lot of times people try to duplicate what others do. But the thing is that Jay and I believe really strongly when it comes to lifestyle and wellness transformation is that there's no one-size-fits-all solution. And a lot of times, restriction is what's built into some of these diets. And for many people, restriction is not the solution. Restriction is what keeps you on the roller coaster that stresses you out, that makes you upset, that causes you to beat yourself up when you're not making the changes that you really want to make or that you feel like you deserve or that you've been craving your whole life. And I get it, because especially right now, it seems like keto is the hot thing because you see all the different foods at the grocery store in the quote unquote health food section that says keto this, keto that, fat bombs this, fat bombs that. And I think the thing that I want to say here too is that using these type of diets or lifestyles can be good if you are using it as a way to experiment, learn, find out what you like and what you don't like, what works for your body, what doesn't work for your body. Because I've learned a lot in my journey because I've done a lot of these things. Jay and I find interest in doing that. I've done Whole30 3 different times. I've done it at home, on the road while traveling full-time as a sales professional and eating out 90% of the time, and another time on the road too. And I booked place hotels that had kitchens and to see what I could buy on the road. But like, we're kind of weird and we like to do that. And you may be weird too, in a good way, where you're like, you know what? I just want to do this and find out. I want to see how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, you basically sum this one up for me. And the main thing is finding the thing that works for you. And I think that's difficult and challenging for a lot of people because we live in such a quick fix microwave society where it's like, I want the solution now. I want the glory right now. I want to get to where I want to, I want to get to the pleasure. I don't want to deal with the pain anymore. Right. But as with everything, especially one of the things we talked about and we went into last week is wherever you are, you didn't get there overnight. So you really can't expect to do a 180 overnight. It's going to take time. And sometimes it's a process and sometimes it's trusting the process. And a lot of people, just in general, you got to try these things out for yourself. Because, yeah, I could easily say the Mediterranean diet works great for me. Oh, my God, my skin is so clear. I dropped like 10 pounds in 2 months and I feel great for whatever. But you might try it and it not work for you. It makes you feel lethargic or whatever. So sometimes it's experimenting with these different things and even mixing them up. Because what's good for one person may not be good for somebody else. Like, everybody is different, literally and figuratively.
I have a story I want to add that I just thought of. So one of the clients we were working with, when we were talking about lifestyle, because a lot of times what happens is when people come to us and want help with their healthy habits, they always want to, you know, like, a lot of people want to share, well, I used to eat healthier, I used to be this way, because it's like this... I don't know, they think that we're the police and we're going to yell at them for everything they did, and we're not. And so in this one conversation, someone was sharing like, man, we really did good when we were on keto. Like, we felt good. We had a lot of energy. We did a lot, but we haven't been on that for, I forget if it was like 6 months or a year. Man, I really want to get back to that. And I think the thing is if something like that is coming up with you, like, man, I really felt good there. I think it's a good chance to ask yourself some questions and be in detective and get in that self-awareness mode to ask yourself, like, why didn't it work for you? So if you haven't done it in a certain period of time, something fell off. Was it just a little bit more challenging to fit in your lifestyle? Did you just, something major happen with like a stress event? Was, you know, like, what was it? What was the thing or things that maybe caused you to move away from that? Because that could also be something that you could use to implement moving forward if you choose to go back to that lifestyle or diet, to be aware of, or maybe even modify it to work on your terms. Because sometimes we just fall back because we miss the foods that we left, and it may have worked for us for 6 months, a year, whatever period of time, but we miss some of those foods. And that goes back to the whole restriction thing. You know, if you're restricting certain foods, it's just a way for you to really question and say, okay, you know, what's the intention behind this? Am I restricting? Is this a choice? Because when we can choose what we do, it's a little bit different than if we're just like following rules of a set program. Jay, you want to go ahead and jump to number two?
Before we jump to number two, Jen, why should they stick around to the end of the
room? Oh, that's so good. Okay. So we were talking, we were like so excited, and I'm totally for us to start off with this. So if you guys stick around to the end, we're going to share at the end how you can still eat your favorite snacks. And we use the word snack, which is a word that Jay and I use that kind of explains like cookies, sweets, chips, like whatever things like that, that we like to snack on. That's like a little name that we have for it. So we're going to show you a way that you can still eat your favorite snacks, which goes into a common myth about, oh my God, you have to cut out all the carbs in order to be healthy or lose weight. So we're going to give you a way that you can still do that on your terms as you're moving towards a healthier you.
Myth number two, you must eat 6 times a day, small, frequent meals for optimal health. All right. First things first. This is interesting. Everything, there's going to be a common denominator here, guys. A lot of these things go into being a detective and figuring out what works for your particular body, right? This particular thing, like 6 small meals, it may work for you. It may not work for you. Some people may like bigger meals. Some people may not like smaller meals, but we feel you need to listen to your body. Like, there's certain hunger cues, and it's not just like, oh, I think I'm hungry because my stomach's rumbling, right? And you may not be hungry, and it's just like trying things out, be like, okay, this usually happens. What if I wait a little longer? Okay, yes, this is a sign of real hunger. No, I'm not really hungry. I'm just in the kitchen and I just happen to see those cupcakes and they're there and I'm going to eat them. So, and hunger cues will tell you when you need to eat and when you don't need to eat, because sometimes we eat out of stress, we eat out of anxiety, we eat out of overwhelm, all this stuff when we're not really hungry, you know? And if you do this six times, you know, a day thing, you might be overeating. So yeah. And eating till you're satisfied, which is, this is kind of relative depending on the person, because I'm from Texas. Eating till satisfied means you're pushing yourself away from the table. You're unbuttoning your pants because your stomach's gotten bigger, or you're wearing your stretchy pants because grandma made her famous banana pudding, you know, and it's like, ooh, I'm satisfied, but you really overindulged, right? Eating till you're satisfied is like, yeah, okay, I'm good. I've had enough. And I mean, I can always go back for seconds or make that executive decision, but it's just a habit, behavior, mindset shift and change.
Yeah, I want to talk about the hunger scale a little bit more and go a little deeper on that. So the way that you can use this tool in your day-to-day life is, it's up to you if you want to use a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 5, but pick a scale that you're going to use and you can check in. So I'm going to give the example on a 1 to 10 scale. So sometimes what we do, and I realized this a couple years ago, is we eat at 12 because it's lunchtime. We eat at 5 or 6 or 7 because it's dinner time. And that's something that we've always done. And I picked up that from my parents in the lifestyle, you know, like we would eat at those times because it was lunch or dinner time and we wouldn't necessarily be hungry. And on top of that, had we been eating cookies or something all day, you know, mom would always say, oh, well, we have to get some nutrition in our bodies and we have to eat food. So like you're already full and then you're eating this dinner on top of it. And so, yes, it is important to get nutrition in your body. But at the same time, if you're already full, then there's no need to put any more food in. So when you're checking, you know, zero means like if you don't eat anything, you're going to die because you're so hungry and you've already gone 10 days without food or whatever. And a 10 is like what Jay explained, you're so stuffed, you're pushing yourself away from the table, like you can't handle it. And so really, it's checking in and seeing, okay, you know, what does a 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 look like? You know, how does that feel like for me? Sometimes we think that we're hungry because we're afraid to go without food. And sometimes that can link back to different aspects in life. So I'm not tying this to anything of anybody who's gone through like homelessness or things like that, where they had trouble getting food on the table. I'm talking, you know, in our lives, if we have access to food readily, sometimes we think like, and I've done this, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I have to eat, because if I don't eat, what's going to happen? So it may even be a little experiment for you to see, okay, I normally eat breakfast in the morning. Let me skip it today and see, you know, what happens? What happens if I don't eat for a period of time? I don't know. What happens? Now, some of you wedding pros running around, you may already experience this where you go all day without eating. And so that's a whole nother thing that we would need to do a separate conversation about, to talk about, okay, how do you eat during the day when you're busy all day and you are not eating? But this is referring to the idea of you're just forcing in meals because that's what the experts say, 6 times a day or whatever the number is that you've heard. And we're just talking about checking with your body and using the hunger scale to see, okay, am I hungry? Is this okay? You know, is this a good time to eat, etc. All right, number 3. Okay, this is something that you hear all the time, is calories in, calories out is what's required for weight loss. And a lot of times what gets lumped in with that, this myth too, is, you know, you have to follow a low calorie diet and that's the best way to lose weight. Okay, so with this one, calories in, calories out, the reason why this is not usually not something that's going to serve you is because everybody's different. We've got different genetics, medical conditions, metabolic adaptations. We just all have different scenarios that sometimes this blanket calories in, calories out. I mean, yes, the science of it, yes, there's some science behind it that supports that. But if we are unique, dynamic human beings with real lives and real situations, like we're not machines. And so the mindset shift on this is really focusing on whole foods, focusing on, like a lot of times with this, you know, I have to eat low calorie. So people focus on like low fat options or low calorie options. Like you guys have seen them all in the store, the low calorie snacks, like the 100 calorie snack packs. Because if you're so focused on that, then you have to really think like, okay, is this quality that I'm putting into my body to fuel me? Or is this the quantity thing? You know, like a lot of times when we eat some of these low fat, low calorie snacks, what's also in it is some poor quality ingredients that are artificial a lot of different artificial flavors and things. And so the foods that we eat that are 100 calorie or low calorie or low fat, they don't actually fill us up because they're not whole foods that give us the nutrients we need. So we find ourselves being hungrier and we will snack and eat more. So it ends up being this cycle that you think you're eating this little 100 calorie snack because you want to be good. But also that's a thing too. Jay and I talk about, it's not about being good. That's not the focus. It's how can you make decisions that move you towards your goals that are also sustainable for you? And here's the thing too, I want to say, if you are eating low calorie or low fat things, the other thing we talk about here is a continuum. So if we're talking about going from eating, I don't know, I'm just seeing what comes to mind here. Like you're eating a huge bag of Doritos every day, you know, and you're eating a candy bar. And then you're like, well, I'm not going to go eat raw broccoli. So if you're making steps on a continuum, like you could plot out three or four different things that are between Doritos and a candy bar all the way up to raw broccoli. I know that's extreme, but that's what a lot of people do sometimes. They jump to this extreme and then they hate it and they don't want to do it. And so what can you plot along the way that can help you move towards a more whole food, less processed solution for you? So the low fat, low calorie thing might be on that continuum for you because it'll help you in making those decisions that move you towards a healthier goal. But what we want to help unwind for you is if you are thinking and believing that I have to follow a low calorie diet in order to lose weight, or I have to really focus on calories in, calories out, it just creates what we believe a cycle that doesn't support you with sustainability in the long term.
All right. And this whole calorie in, calorie out thing, if you think about it, like calories are nothing more than numbers, right? If we break it down to a simplified, without geeking out and getting nerdy about it, the simplified thing, it's kind of like the numbers on the scale, right? The numbers on the scale, it is not a definition of how healthy or unhealthy you are, right? The numbers on the scale is just giving you the number of how much you weigh in that particular moment you step on the scale. It's not looking inside your body and saying, oh, you have this going on, or you have that going on, or this is going on, which is adding to the weight or minusing the weight. No, it's like, there's a million and one things that could go on that would give you that number, right? Same thing with calories. Good calories, bad calories, however you want to label or qualify them. At the end of the day, on the back of the label, it's just a number. And if you're going off this number and not looking at the actual nutrients in the calorie, you're kind of doing hurting yourself more than helping yourself, because we get into this mindset of, I only have to burn X amount of calories. And if you checked out the room last week when we were talking about the fitness trackers, because some of us live by our fitness trackers, and my Apple Watch says I burned 2,000 calories. So that means I can go eat this pizza tonight. Nah, it's not really accurate. Definitely not really accurate unless you have a professional partner or friend who can hook you up to a machine that's going to give you detailed information about what your body is really doing. I'm just combining words today, man. Excuse me. Your body is really doing during those exercises. You can't really get a finite answer to what's going on. So your best bet is to say, how nutrient dense is the food that I'm taking in, right? And just looking at the numbers as a gauge, a standard of, you know, X amount of calories. So they really don't do anything. So that's one of the things we want to drive home, is like, be cautious when you're on this calorie in, calorie out thing, and think less of that and more of what is the nutrients that I'm taking in from this food that I'm eating. All right. Myth number four, macro ratio matters more than diet quality, right? How many of us have like, oh, my macros. It's in my macros. I'm good. It's in my macros, right? Tracking macros is necessary for weight loss. No, it's definitely not. Now, this is definitely one of those things where if you're a detailed individual, You know, if you're, here's my thing. If you're a person who cooks for yourself and you really want to get fine tuned on your nutrition and everything that's going in, that's going out, like you're measuring the amount of milk you have in your coffee, like it could go to this extreme thing, right? And it's good information to know. But once again, this is one of those things that's not sustainable, because when you're at home, you can control everything. But if you go out, how much is in the chicken or whatever you're eating, right? Did they use butter? Did they use olive oil? Did you use whatever? And it becomes this big thing, right? So counting macros or measuring macros or mastering macros, the ratio of macros, it's a good tool, but it's also one of those things that, depending on who you are, can make or break you, right? And it can also be a narrow mindset approach. Like, it limits you to the possibilities out there, especially if you're like us. We're foodies, so we enjoy food. And like Jen said earlier, we're one of those people that we actually experiment. We go out, we do these things, and I'll go through a season where I'll go, like, measure stuff. Like, I'll, like, the macros, this, that, and the third, or whatever, because I want to see what I'm eating, how it affects, how it doesn't affect. But be honest with y'all, man, that shit gets tired so quickly. You know, I forgot to count this, I forgot to go that. We have an audible and we go to the Cheesecake Factory and it's like, okay, how much protein is on the plate? And it's a headache. And it ties into restriction on a different level. Not necessarily, oh, I can't eat this, that, or third, but restriction is in, okay, I have to weigh everything. I have to do this. And like we said, if it works, we're definitely not negating this. Like, if you're a person who's like, yo, I love counting calories, I love doing my macros, everybody's different. Once again, literally and figuratively. So if you're doing it and it works for you, rock on. But we want to simplify things as much as we can. For everybody who's like, I've tried this, I've tried that, it's not working, what's going on? And wait, you're telling me I don't have to count my macros? Where have you guys been my whole life?
Yeah, I think Jay hit everything on the head, because sometimes these things work for you until they don't. And I think this is a good life lesson in general. There's a lot of things that will work for us in different seasons. And sometimes we cling on to things that worked for us in other seasons of our life, and we try to make those and force those to work in our current season. And sometimes it just is not meant to be part of your life journey at this point, your wellness journey, your business journey. And so just recognizing something that may have worked for you in the past may not work for you now, because maybe something's changed. You know, maybe you have kids now. Maybe you don't have kids now. Maybe you have a new relationship. Maybe you have more business lines, or maybe you opened up a new business. So everything shifts and changes throughout this. And what I love the most about this wellness journey that I've enjoyed the most, and like Jay hit on it, is doing things like macros or measuring out your food or counting calories on MyFitnessPal can be great tools, especially if you say, okay, I'm going to do this for 2 weeks, because it does teach you a lot. It teaches a lot about portion sizes and how do you feel, and, oh, wow, I had no idea that this was that, or this was that, or, oh, wow, this makes me sleepy, or whatever. Like, it can teach you a lot of things. I remember maybe about 10 years ago, I love milkshakes, and I would go get milkshakes out. This might be 15 years ago. I'd go get milkshakes out and about, and I found out that the Chick-fil-A milkshake was like, I don't know, like 1,000 calories or something, whatever it is. And I was like, are you kidding me? It's like 1,000 calories for that milkshake? You're like, holy crap. And so I think that these, like we were saying, these tools can just help bring awareness. But if it's causing you stress, right, the big question you can ask yourself, or even a coach can ask you, is how's that working for you? And if it's working great, rock out. And if you're like, then maybe it's time to consider a different approach that supports you on your journey versus causes more stress on an already really busy life and lifestyle that you may have currently. All right, number five. This is the big one. It's the one that we promised you stay till the end. All right, carbs make you gain weight. This is the myth. And a lot of people stay away from carbs and get, oh my God, I can't eat carbs, I can't eat carbs, I can't eat carbs. Well, here's the thing. Carbs are, okay, we just talked about macros. Carbs are a macro. You need carbs to live. Carbs are in things that can support you. For example, things that are high in fiber, vitamins and minerals like starchy root vegetables, grains, legumes, things like that. And the other carbs, the carbs that people are usually talking about, are like the cakes, cookies, sweeteners, snacks, white breads, etc. And so the thing is when it comes to carbs, you'd never, carbs, fat, any of it, you never want to rule out an entire category. There's absolutely no need to completely eliminate an entire category out of your life. Like, there's absolutely no need. And with this one, Jay, do you want to give like the cherry on top and tell them how they can eat the carbs?
Just eat them last. Just eat them last. Bread. How many of us love bread? Like, we all love bread. And when you go to the restaurant, they give you bread, and the bread usually fills you up. You've had three baskets of bread. I might be talking to myself here. Three baskets of bread before you even get your appetizer and your entree, right? And you're like, holy crap, oh my God, I'm so full, right? So try just eating the carb, like, last, right? Hey, Mr. Server guy, can you bring me the bread at the end? He's probably going to look at you crazy. And whoever you're with is probably going to look at you crazy too. But if you think about it, if you save the carb for last, especially like these rich carbs, these breads and everything, after you eat everything else, you might not even want them. You might recognize and realize that you're satisfied and haven't even, you know, touched the carb, or you had a piece and been like, oh man, I'm good. You know, and if you're like, Jay, that's crazy, whatever, you still have the power to make the executive decision and like have your carbs whenever you want. But we're just asking you to be a detective. You know, try it out. Try something different and see how it works. Try it on for a time. You know, like, yeah, try it on. Walk around.
Eat carbs last is after. So you would want to eat your protein sources first, followed by whatever vegetables, and then the carbs. So that would be the order. So like, let's say you do want to have a snack, then have some protein and then have the snack after. Because the reason for this is that if you look at blood sugar spiking, and geez, we all have high blood sugar because sugar's in everything. But there are studies that show that your blood sugar spikes less if you put the protein first than putting that sugary sweet first. So not only does it help you, but also, you know, like Jay was saying, you may find that you may not want that snack or sweet, but you always have the executive decision. But everything that we teach and we help people with when it comes to like wellness and habit and lifestyle coaching aspect of what we do is we focus on the whole person, and we focus on what can we help you integrate into your life and lifestyle that's going to help you make that sustainable change on your terms. We want you to say 3, 6, 9, 12 months in the future from working with us, we want you to say, wow, I'm never going back to that old me because I've learned so much and this is the new me, right? Not the traditional like, okay, because I've done this. I was vegan for a year, and then I did paleo for 2 years, and then I've done all the things. But I always come back to some same types of foods. So how can you work those things into your life and lifestyle that can still support you in having the body, the life, the relationships, the everything that you want? All right. Who wants to come up and join us? Share your stories, share your questions, share your ahas. We'd love to help you. This might even be a little opportunity for a little mini coaching session if you're open to it. Stephanie, Jackie, Autumn, Kelly, Linda, Juliana. I knew we'd get you, Jackie.
Hi, guys. Hello. I'm so glad that I joined. I had a lot of work left, and I told myself, you know what? Nope. Time to be done. I'm going to see what's happening on this forum. And lo and behold, there you were.
Yay. So glad you joined. So I'd love you to share a little bit, like share either a takeaway or if you have a specific question or anything else you'd like to know.
I actually, you know what? You guys hit on a lot of things that I'm going through right now. And I was just talking to my gym trainer the other day about macros because he's a bodybuilder and he was really getting into it. And one of the things that really resonated with me tonight with you guys is that you said that we all are different. We don't have to do what everybody else has to do. And I think that's been the learning process that I've been going through, because I am struggling with my weight and I am struggling with eating and not eating and what should I eat and feeling guilty and the whole nine yards. And one of the things that the biggest things that I have learned is that I need to find what fits me best. And when I do that, which I'm still working on, I will start feeling good about myself. And my issue, or something that I think we all do, is we constantly compare ourselves to everybody else. And that's something that I'm actively working on, you know, and to try and eat healthier, because I think in a world where we have McDonald's on every corner and Burger King and all the fast foods, it's super easy to, you know, take things for granted, you know, those wonderful fruits and vegetables. And that's the biggest thing that I've been doing the past couple of months, is really focusing on, if I am hungry or think I am hungry, not putting the cookies or the chocolate or the pasta or the bread into my mouth, but instead filling it with strawberries, melons, apples, peanut butter, you know, all things that are healthy and good for my body, while still having calories, but they're good calories. So that's kind of where I'm at.
You touched on something real quick. Your trainer, he's getting ready for a bodybuilding competition or whatever, right? And I don't mean whatever. That probably came across condescending. Pardon me. He's getting ready for a competition. And in a certain situation like that, where you're getting ready for something where, like, whatever, anything you put in your body is going to make or break, like, your end goal. Yeah, those are one of the times you're going to be focused on your counting calories, your macros, because you're laser focused. You're fine tuning, like, everything, because the end goal is to look a certain way, right? But once again, that's not sustainable, because I guarantee Jackie, after this competition, he's done. Like, he's going to go get pizza, pasta, donuts, candy, soda, all this stuff. But, like, right now, he's kind of in a racing phase where he's super focused on every little thing, you know, so every ounce matters. It's kind of like a tennis player getting the lightest racket, you know, or a cyclist making sure their bike is the most aerodynamic, because any extra ounces is going to gain them extra time. So depending on where you are and what you're trying to do, you know, everything has a time and place, right? But if you're just the average person who wants to be healthier and do it, like, sustainably, like, there's ways to do it without, like, going crazy, if you will.
And I'll add too, Jackie, one of the things that you said, like, with all the fast food things on every corner, that's one of the things that I've worked on over the years, because sometimes we have to retrain ourselves to, when we're in stress mode or we're in busy mode, there are certain things that are our go-tos, right? And so we know, okay, this is here, that's there, and it's easy. It does take a little extra work to look and see what other options could be there. So whether it be other options on that specific menu, or looking and saying, okay, well, I could run into this grocery store and go get a salad, or, hey, there's a Trader Joe's, I can go get one of the salads there. Or one of the things I would do when I was traveling is I would look for those places. Like in Texas, there's Snap Kitchen, and I'm sure there's different names around that they have the meals that are already grab and go, that you can put in the microwave right there in their place, and they're already ready for you, and they've got whole food ingredients. And so I started going to those places, because those meals are $7, $8, $9, $10. And it, to me, it was just like fast food, but it does take a little bit of work to look and go, okay, what are some new places that I could replace? So when I'm in that moment that I have to grab and go, I can look for a different solution instead of the usual Burger King, Chick-fil-A, like whatever it is that maybe is your go-to. But that does take practice, and it takes being kind with yourself, because you may still in that moment go pick the Burger King or whatever. And then you're like, oh man, I couldn't have gone to Snap Kitchen. Oh, okay, next time. And so just be, when you're changing these like in deep ingrained habits, especially when you're busy or in stressful moments, just know that it'll take time for you to make that shift. But once you replace, and now you know, oh, I never thought I could go into a grocery store and buy something. I never thought about that. Let me go do that. Oh, wow, I can go to a Whole Foods and go get the food bar and fill up. And, you know, I choose what's there, whatever it is. So, Jackie, is there anything you want to share or add?
Nope. I think you guys hit it on the head, and I'm enjoying listening to this conversation.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Autumn, welcome up. Love to hear what your comments are, questions, or how can we help you?
Yeah, so I would say I think literally the most important thing that you have said, and I think that it's kind of come up in each little myth that you busted, but is just the simple fact that everyone is different. And it's so funny because I was just talking about it in a different room about something completely different, which was business goals, where it's like, you know, some people get caught up, especially I've noticed like a lot of the newer wedding pros that are coming in and some of the masterminds that I'm a part of, you know, if we're talking about wins and I'll say something and they'll be like, oh, well, my win isn't as big because, you know, X, Y, Z. And it's like, no, it's because you're in a different part of the journey. Like you're in a totally different. And so my oldest two daughters both have cystic fibrosis. So like, as you were talking about it, just brought me back to when they were in elementary school, when we still had them in brick and mortar. And, you know, the teachers made this big deal about some of the snacks that they had to have throughout the day and how, oh, well, you know, it's not really fair to the other kids to have this big, you know, thing of snacks for them to have throughout the day. And so they would, you know, have to go down to the office. And I mean, and I fought with them until I finally just homeschooled them. But, you know, they were being made to feel less than or different or whatever by having to go down to the office every time they needed a snack because they need, you know, high calorie, high protein diet. And so, you know, just the fact that you brought that out in just about everything that you said, every single person is different and every single body needs different things at different points in time. You know, I'm definitely not going to be on the same diet as, you know, say someone that's pregnant because I'm not currently pregnant, or, you know, someone with cystic fibrosis, or, you know, someone that has diabetes or whatever it might be. Every single person is going to be on a different part of the journey and need different things that are going to fuel their body. And so I just give you kudos for bringing that up.
Yeah, I thank you for saying that because, you know, one of the things that Jay and I are really intentional on in our business is even though we have nutrition certification and we have, you know, past history doing different things with the fitness and wellness field, we are not intentionally, we're choosing not to write meal plans for people. One, it doesn't super interest us, but also two, we don't want to give you a meal plan. We want to teach you how to make the choices and help you make the behavior changes and help you learn the emotional spikes and help you identify the different foods and things that help give you more energy and help you feel better and help you feel amazing and help you hit your goals. And so giving you a meal plan can still fit. I mean, meal plans aren't a bad thing. Sometimes we need them. Once again, it's something we learn, right? We can learn different things, but we want to empower people with what's going to help them. And like you said, Autumn, the different, you know, with your children or the different aspects in life or the different points in life, we need different things. And I'm glad that you picked that up from what we're talking about, because that's really important to us, because we don't subscribe any one size fits all. We may subscribe a principle that's one size fits all, like, hey, here's the hunger scale, or hey, check in with your cues in your body. Like that's a one size fits all, but each person's experience of that principle will be different because everybody's going to have different needs based on what their lives are, their lifestyle is. Jay, you want to add anything?
No, I love that. Yeah, that was definitely the main thing that was picked up, Autumn. Definitely appreciate it, because that was one of the underlying things that we saw with that. And also the foundation is not eating the processed stuff and understanding that sometimes it is convenient. You know, Jackie, we had our meals planned out. We called an audible today because we were out running errands and we passed by one of our favorite food spots. So we stopped and ate, right? Because it's like, oh my God, it's so good, right? So you're going to have those things. You're going to have those times where it comes up. And when it does happen, we don't have to beat ourselves up. We don't have to, you know, be like, oh my God, shame ourselves or do this whole guilt thing. It's like one meal or a couple of meals, you know, you catch yourself in the moment, you be aware of it, and you adjust that 1% better thing. And if it's like, okay, I had a fast food meal out, can you make your next meals, your breakfast or dinner or whatever it is, better? Or if you can't do all three, can you do one? And if you can't do one, can you do a healthy snack, right? And this is the thing. It's not like we want you to do this 180 overnight. It's taking the steps that are going to create new habits, going to reframe old conditioned thinking, and have you living a life on your terms that's sustainable, and not just someone telling you to do something and it being short-lived. Like, we don't want to tell you what to do. We want to show you guys, you all how to do it, right? So therefore, it's not Jenny and Jay told me I have to do this. No, we showed you how, we showed you the process, we showed you how to make it own for your particular lifestyle. So it's no longer, we said you need to do this. It's like, this works for my particular lifestyle and I'm feeling fucking amazing.
Period. Right?
I'd love to just jump in for a second and say one of the big things that I've learned, and this goes directly to what Jay is saying, is that you can't gain weight overnight by one meal. And for a long time, that's what I was telling myself, was like, oh my gosh, I just ate a cookie today, so I now can't have any other food because that was so horrible. And a lot of it was lack of education. A lot of it is confidence. A lot of it's self. It's all inner self. But one of the biggest things that I learned, again, going back to what Jay said, was that you're not going to gain weight from one or two meals. You gain weight from eating the continuous bad stuff over and over and over, just as much as you lose weight by doing it repetitively over and over and over, of eating the good stuff.
Yes. Yes, Jackie, so true. I mean, I was just sitting here, I looked back at our notes and I realized I want to add something along those lines, because I wrote down here, it was a myth we didn't, like, it was like, if we get to it, we get to it, is like, all smoothies and juices are healthy, right? So it's like, sometimes we will overcompensate for that and think, oh, okay, I'm going to go drink this juice, or I'm going to drink this smoothie because I had this. Like, we try to overcompensate the cookie or the thing and go do something else, but sometimes the something else has just as much sugar as the other thing. I mean, once again, it's all a continuum. But my point with this one is that sometimes we go to these other things because they're marketed as healthy. And they're probably, a lot of things that are marketed as healthy are not as healthy for you as you may believe. Like, even in like something like a Whole Foods, where you're like, oh, you know, they check everything and make sure it's all good ingredients. Yeah, some of the brands might have some better ingredients for you than some of the mainstream stuff on the grocery, in the grocery store, in the aisles. But some of those things, gluten-free or vegan or paleo or keto or whatever, like whatever it says on there, could just be a marketing thing. And yeah, like Oreos are vegan. So does that mean it's okay to go eat a whole pack of Oreos? Like, it's vegan. Oh, it's vegan. It's healthy for me. So sometimes we also, you know, overcompensate with things that we perceive to be healthy that are just the same as eating a cookie. So why put yourself up in that wrap up of stress and beating yourself up and guilt? Like, it's just really not worth it. You have a business, you have a family, you have yourself, you have all these other things that you could put your mind and energy into that can help empower you and lift you up, versus beating yourself up over eating a cookie. And I get it, because we've
too much of anything isn't a good thing, right? Yes, healthier options may be healthier for you, but still, if you overindulge in those things, it's still not the thing, right? You're still going to gain weight. You're still going to potentially suffer all these other things. So it's like finding that balance for you. So it's like, I remember I was walking in a Whole Foods one day, and for lack of a better phrase, I saw someone who looked unhealthy from the other side, from the outside, right? And I'm like, yo, what a mindset shift. Like, going to Whole Foods is a start, right? Because you're not getting the Pringles or the whatever, the snacks with the quote-unquote crap in it. But still, if you're still overindulging and overeating, you're still going to have the same problems of the high blood pressure, being overweight, because good or bad calories, nutrition dense or indense, it's that whole overindulging thing. And it's finding that balance to eating slowly, those foundations, eating till you're satisfied, being active, doing all those things, and just finding your particular balance.
Want to give an opportunity to Stephanie and Linda, if you guys want to come up and share anything, you're welcome. Of course, you can stay down in the audience too and continue to listen, but wanted to let you know you are invited up on stage if you want to come share anything. And of course, Jackie or Autumn, if there's anything else you want to add before we go through our takeaways. Oh, here comes Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, welcome up. What would you like to share? What was your aha? What would you like to add in the conversation?
Hello, thanks. I'm not exactly sure what question I want to ask. I have been admittedly not been able to focus all of my attention on the talk today because I've been doing baby care and child care and everything. I've got both of my boys home, so I've been a little bit in and out. But I know when it comes to the subject of nutrition specifically, I've found myself really challenged over this past essentially 2 years, because I was pregnant during most of 2020 in the kind of the height of the initial pandemic, and then have been nursing, and I'm still nursing now. So I have the combination of kind of, I guess, pandemic stress plus postpartum nursing physicality and needs, where I always feel hungry because I am nursing, but it always feels like a challenge to satiate my hunger with healthy things. Like, I'll eat an apple or I'll eat something and it's just like, no, that's not going to do it. And I crave carbs, I think, because of what's going on with my body and burning so much for nursing, but it's not helping my waistline. So I don't know if there's any advice you can have around that, being postpartum and nursing and trying to work towards being more healthy nutritionally. But that was just that's kind of where I am personally. So that was one potential question or thought that I had.
Thank you so much for sharing, Stephanie. I think one of the things, while this is not our specific expertise, as far as like what to do in this specific situation, one thing that popped in my mind that may help you is, I'd be curious how much protein you're eating throughout the day, because good quality protein sources can help keep us full and satiated longer. And so maybe it's a matter of shifting, because like an apple is still good and it's healthy and it's a fruit, maybe it's shifting to make sure that you're incorporating more protein into your diet to help you with that. And it could be a combination of a protein, like we were saying, and in the talk, we said, okay, eat your protein first, then your veggies, then your carbs. So maybe it's a combination of eating that plus some carbs, and that may help you. So I don't know if that's something you've tried in the process or how that has worked out for you, if at all, but it could be something you could try.
Yeah, I think it's a good reminder. A quick protein can be a challenge, right? Like, that's always my challenge. Carbs are always easy to grab. So quick protein that is fulfilling or easy when I'm shuffling, you know, baby care and child care and running around can just be a challenge. I try to have actually like a rotisserie chicken in my house, because that could literally just tear a piece off of the chicken and that's at least some sort of protein. But I think my challenge is finding protein that's convenient, because, you know, as a busy mom, that's the other part of it, is I'm almost always eating in the middle of doing something else. So I think it's a good reminder to try to always grab protein, or at least try to always have a good, easy protein, whatever that looks like, in my house, because otherwise I'll have kids snacks and then that's the easy thing to grab, right? Like, it's easy to grab a handful of chips or a piece of bread or peanut butter, which I've been living on peanut butter, which I know is not great, technically protein, but not necessarily the best protein. So that's a good reminder. I'll try to, when I'm shopping, try to be more mindful of having, what can I do to have some easy protein in the house? Thanks.
And two, Steph, I'll look up and research some things that may help you and send that your way as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
And I was just thinking too, with protein, because we've been doing this eating, you know, because I agree with me, playing sports and being active, obviously a different thing than you, Stephanie. I do find myself craving carbs to help me feel fuller. And usually for me, this is my situation. If I'm craving a lot of like the carbs and the rice and the carbs that support me and help me feel fuller, I realize it's because I'm not eating enough protein. And I too kind of been trying to figure out, okay, what protein things can I have available on hand that can support me, that have me feeling away? So some of the things that I have tried and some have worked and some haven't, but I'll at least share them with you to give you ideas, is like you said, the rotisserie chicken is perfect. If you have something like that, you can grab and go or already have it cut up and ready to go. I've also tried different, I don't know what to call them, but like different like salami or like meat like that and cheese. I've used that while I've needed something grab and go quick, or like I hike and I'll take something like that with me. I usually look for ones that have no nitrites or nitrates, but it's not absolutely necessary. And once again, here's the thing, like some nutrition ways and things say, don't eat processed meat, don't eat this, don't eat that. Once again, it's a continuum. So right now, if that's something that helps you get more of the protein, then it's something that you could use for right now. And then maybe you could graduate to a different type of thing later. So keep that in mind, that it may not be the like ideal, most perfect, most cleanest type of thing. Like, do what will work for you and help you, because grabbing a salami and cheese or whatever that is for you, some kind of sausage something or some kind of meat and cheese, may be a solution that helps keep you fuller longer versus, like you said, grabbing the baby snacks or the kid snacks or whatever. It's baby steps. Also, one thing that I've used is I've used different nuts. So I like cashews, I like almonds, I've used that. Jay likes peanuts. That's something that we've used. Now, granted, that does go a little bit more in the fat side than the protein side, depending on the nut, but it's something that I've grabbed in those moments. We also do jerky, and we'll do jerky when we want protein or we need a quick snack. And to be continued, because I'm still trying to identify what those are for me. I've done like veggies and hummus as a grab and go. So I'm just trying to get that going. And I've also researched online and just said protein options or protein snack options, just to get some ideas. Because as you know, you'll probably look at them and be like, I hate that. I don't like that. That doesn't work. But it may give you an idea of something else that will.
Yeah, my other challenge is I'm lactose intolerant. So a lot of the quick, easy, healthful protein options are cheese-based, and I can't have any of that.
Yeah.
And it was funny when I was working with a nutritionist during my pregnancy, because I had gestational diabetes, she kept going to foods that were dairy, because it's just so such, it was just a standard in like the controlling diabetes diet to go to low fat, you know, go to healthy yogurts and cottage cheese. So she kept going to it, and I kept having to say, yes, but I can't have dairy. She's like, shoot, I don't really know how to do this. Like, dairy is such a big part of what is normally considered kind of like the good proteins. So that's another challenge. It just kind of eliminates a whole category. So yeah, it's a matter of figuring out what actually works for me and those lists.
You know, it's interesting as you talk about that, there was the longest time that I didn't eat dairy, because there's research that shows that dairy doesn't support us and isn't good for us. And then of course, like you said, if you're lactose intolerant, and it's interesting because now I am eating dairy, and I was really kind of against it at first, but I was like, okay, let me practice what we preach. Let me experiment and see what happens. How do I feel? And I'm not saying for you to do that, experiment with dairy, but there are ways, because I didn't eat dairy for the longest time. And so there are ways to get protein in without dairy. And so a keyword that you could look up, and I'm not saying to go follow this diet, but a keyword to look up is you could look up Whole30 protein snacks, or you could look up like paleo protein snacks, because both of those styles follow a no dairy type of thing. And so you can use those as a jump board to get ideas. So that's where I'll use some of the diets to find things. Like if I know like, hey, I kind of like the way this is set up and I want a whole food based meal, I'll look up meals and different things, even though we're not keto, we're not Whole30, we're not paleo, we're not any of those, but I'll look up those to help jumpstart ideas. So that could help you too, Stephanie.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Of course.
Stephanie, I'm also lactose intolerant. So I have the same issue that you do. And one of the things that I found, because I'm a huge cheese lover, but I can't have it because it makes me super sick. But the Cabot cheese is lactose free, and they have it in snack packs, and it's a really quick fix, and it really does fill you up. And then I think somebody was also mentioning that they had chicken in their fridge all the time. I actually have tuna, and tuna is a really quick and healthy protein too. And I love putting it on like plantain chips, or even putting it on pita bread that's healthier, you know, different things like that. So just thought I'd throw that out there too.
You said it was Cabot cheese? Is that the name of the cheese?
Yes, you can buy it online. It can be shipped to you. It's Cabot, Cabot. It's the only cheese that that I know of that is completely lactose free. It literally says it right on the package, lactose free. I can eat all the Cabot I want.
Yeah, I've tried quite a bit of the different lactose free cheeses. Some of it works in certain situations, but you know, it's not cheese.
It's not.
But I'm always on the hunt for good.
Yeah,
if you look cheese options,
look up Cabot Creamery. It's located in Vermont, and it really it's a lifesaver for me on busy work days because I can just take these little Cabot cheese snacks and know that I'm not going to get sick, and also know that I'm getting my protein and I'm getting something that's filling. So, just out there.
Thanks. I will definitely track it down.
Ooh, I may even try it too. I'm like, I see it in the stores here where we're at in Idaho. I see the Cabot cheese, so I might get that next time to try out. Great, great tip, Jackie. I appreciate it. Are there any more comments or questions before we finish off with the takeaways? Alrighty. All right, so let's wrap this all up. Jay, do you want to start with wrap up or do you want me to start and then you close it?
You wrap up, I'll close.
Okay. All right, so just to wrap everything up that we talked about is that just remember, if you're trying something that has you feeling restrictive or has a narrow-minded approach or this is the only way approach, just pay attention and be mindful and know your intentions going into trying that out. Like, are you trying it out because you're a detective and you just want to, you know, see how this works for you? Or are you trying it out and you're so restrictive that it's going to cause you more stress? Second takeaway is focusing on whole foods. The more whole foods and the more real food the ingredients are, and if you can move more towards that when you're making your choices, that's going to help you out a ton. And then some tangible things that you can put into your life, into your wellness thing right now is when you're making a change, right? So like Jackie, you were talking about this before, like, oh, you know, I'm doing this, I'm trying this, I'm doing that. You know, some things work, some things don't. One of the tools that you can use is you can ask yourself like, okay, I'm going to try this new habit. Maybe you want to try the hunger scale thing, you know, and you say, okay, I'm only going to eat when I'm hungry. And I know you've been playing with this, but as an example, I'm only going to eat when I'm hungry. Well, if you're going to commit to that, then you can ask yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, how willing am I to commit to this over the next few weeks or the next week and implementing this new thing? And if you're kind of like half and half on it, you're like, yeah, I don't really think I'm going to follow that because I right now really like to eat and I don't want to not eat, then maybe that's not the thing to try right now. Find something that you can give yourself an 8, 9, or 10 in confidence on a scale of 1 to 10 that you are willing to integrate that in. So maybe you say, okay, well, I'm going to eat slowly. I'm going to practice eating slowly over the next few weeks and integrate that in because that's going to help me kind of identify more with my body and the hunger cues and stuff. So I didn't say that you don't have to eat when you're not hungry. You can eat anytime you want, but when you eat slowly and you're like, yeah, I can do that. I'm an 8, I'm a 9, I'm a 10. And so focus on those things that you feel really confident about integrating into your life. And that's going to help you make the sustainable change over time. The second tool is remembering the continuum of foods, right? So if you're going from a processed food, so for example, like an orange juice, going all the way up to the real food and orange, you know, how can you make those baby steps in between? You know, you've got processed orange juice and you actually go to maybe a juice or you juice it at home and you get the orange juice and then, you know, now you're eating the actual orange. So how can you make those steps more towards your goal and the more whole food solution and just take those steps along the way? And then really just remembering these foundational habits, eating slowly, eating when you're hungry, eating till satisfied, learning your body cues. These basic habits, when applied consistently over a period of time, have been shown to give people more results sustainably than any other way, because otherwise we end up on that roller coaster.
All right, ladies, thank you so much for hanging out with us for this 62 minutes. Hope you had some good takeaways. And if you put some of these things in practice, please let us know how it's working for you, what changes. And if there's any questions, feel free to reach out to us. As always, we're here to help in any way that we can. Thank you so much. Linda, waving to you down there, girl. And I think that's it. Today's Wednesday, right? Yeah, today's Wednesday, Wellness Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, everybody. If you're still working, knock that shit out and get some rest in. And see you next room.
You can subscribe to the Holistic Life podcast from your favorite streaming platform. And don't forget to check out 2jholla.com to stay in the know as an official 2JH insider. Mahalo for tuning in.